Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959. Now, you know, we're always intrigued by what happens on the global stage, whether it's our BRICS partners, those in the developing economies, or just other countries that we might be able to learn a thing or two from. Tonight, we use a case study, and case in point being China. Now, they've recently pushed through regulation that they want to ensure that they reshape online content creation. And China is introducing a new rule requiring influencers to have official qualifications before discussing what they describe as sensitive subjects, largely related to medicine, law, education, or finance online. I think it's a remarkable contribution and a good thing, because if we do take a look at how social media, yes, it's democratized access to information, but it's also created a platform for individuals to mislead, misrepresent, and even in the worst case scenario, pass on misleading information that results in financial fraud, malfeasance, and just the mishandling of people's health, the law, and finances. Tonight, we thought we'd actually reflect on this and find out if there are any lessons that South Africa can learn from China in this regard, and also perhaps what we're seeing shift in the influencer landscape and the regulation thereof from a South African perspective. For that, we're joined by the CEO of the Advertising Regulatory Board, Gail Schimmel, who we've previously spoken to here on the show, largely on a regard to the regulation of advertising and how the environment actually works. Gail, such a pleasure to have you with us on the show again. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Excited to have you with us. And I can imagine that this is a conversation that has you and your peers talking. I, for one, have already had my name be used to scam a lot of South Africans, telling them that, hey, you know, I'm Kukule Tumfupi, not the real me, but invest in this particular product and you'll be a gazillionaire. Naturally, that's not true, but I think does speak to how social media can be used and abused and manipulating individuals. But just your observations around China's move and what it is that you and your colleagues might be discussing around the regulation or regulatory environment regarding influencers.
So you've spoken to me on exactly the right day, because I have had quite an exciting conversation about this today with government, in fact.
Wow.
What we are doing in this space. I think the starting point is China comes from a very anti-freedom of speech stance, sure, always, and South Africa doesn't. South Africa, the value of freedom of speech is central to our democracy. It's something we really value. So we come at it from a different angle. Perhaps the outcome is going to be similar, but we do come at it from a different angle. In terms of the digital space and influencers and how they're regulated and how they're not, from an advertising regulatory board perspective, advertising put out by influencers is fully regulated the way any advertising is. We don't get enough complaints about it, and we can only act when we get a complaint. But influencers are supposed to be keeping all the rules that any other advertising would keep.
So those paid partnerships or ad-sponsored hashtags essentially means that we can hold them accountable, and should we have a complaint, we can bring them to the Advertising Regulatory Board.
100%. And if they're not using the hashtag ad, hashtag paid partnership, please also bring that to us, because they are supposed to be using it. Uh-huh. And the brand must be held accountable if the influencers that they are paying are not acting within those rules. So for advertising, we've got it covered. We need more complaints, but we've got it covered in terms of the regulation that exists to the extent that the ARB has teeth. And we have relationships with Meta, we have relationships with Google, we have relationships with TikTok, all of which help us pull down advertising that doesn't comply with the rules. So that's the advertising space. But there is a space in which influencers are not currently regulated. And that's where they're not advertising, where they're just saying their thoughts, sharing. And exactly those examples that you've pulled from China, when someone's giving you medical advice, they don't know what they're talking about. And possibly equally more dangerous, I don't even know, financial advice when they don't know what they're talking about, when they are setting you up for some scheme, the deep fake situation you talked about. And where do we step in there? The government has issued a white paper and they envisage a digital ombud. And the ARB, together with the IAB, which is the digital self-regulatory body in South Africa, they have the digital platforms, the digital agencies, the digital marketers as members of theirs. And we're working together to put together a self-regulatory answer to the digital ombud need, so that there will be somewhere for consumers to complain about digital content that is not advertising. We're in early stages of this, but because we're self-regulatory, we move quickly. So don't ask me the brand and the detail of how it will work. That I will not be able to tell you. But I think the thing is to say that both from a self-regulatory perspective and from a government perspective, we're all looking at this.
Got you. And I think that's so encouraging, right, to actually show that South Africa is two steps ahead of the game. We are looking to evaluate this and see how best that we put in the necessary controls. I'm also encouraged by this because when I think of, you know, what we saw with Dr. Matthew, the fake doctor selling fake medical products on TikTok, or the concerns around Cyan Bougie and many other influencers trying to attract South Africans to move to Russia, it clearly shows that the mere fact that we all can refer to these as previous examples means that South Africa is a very vocal society. And that goes back to the theme that you highlighted around the freedom of speech. And I'm intrigued because you probably see this in the advertising space where you're trying to regulate creativity, but also responsibility. And even now when it comes to the influencer space, where again, it's freedom of speech, you know, a difference of opinion, but still trying to make sure that what is being said is true, accurate, and factual. When you look at, you know, navigating that tightrope, does this also speak to the vibrancy of the voices that you have around the table offering their feedback into this white paper? And maybe can you take us into, I guess, you know, the kind of stakeholders involved in these discussions?
I think one of the things to understand in that regard is that while the influencer space is new, and while, you know, social media is newish, it is not that the issues are not new. So the Press Ombud has been walking that line for a long time. BCCSA has been walking that line on content of programming for a long time, of your program. The ARB has been walking that line for a long time. We all have experience in walking that line. And that's why those are the things that are going to come into informing what a code for influencers for digital platforms would look like. If we'd look at the Press Council code, we would look at the BCCSA code, we would look at the ARB code, we would look at the ISPA code, they're an important player in this space as well. We'd look at the existing code, we'd look at the international situation. The government has asked us to look particularly at Canada, and I haven't yet looked at Canada, so I'm not sure why, but the Canadian example is apparently very good. But we will look at international examples of what's going on. And I think a lot of this stuff will not be new, given all that experience coming to the table. But at the same time, exactly what you say, you don't want to be killing the vibrancy of the South African creative. You know, I think we're very proud of our creatives. Our creatives are very creative. That's a terrible sentence, but the creatives are very creative. And we don't want to stop that, but we want to protect consumers. And I think everybody coming to the table has that first and foremost. We have a vulnerable population. We have a vulnerable consumer. We're seeing it in so many spaces at the moment, the gambling problems, the et cetera. Our consumers are desperate and they're ready to believe that you would go and give them financial advice on a TikTok. You know, they're ready to believe anything, and we need to protect them.
We certainly do need to protect them. In the meantime, as these consultations take place, perhaps let's take it back to the influencers. What do they need to be mindful of, those who might be listening, in terms of heightening their level of responsibility whilst expressing their public views?
I've got so much to say on this topic. The first thing is, influencers want to be treated as professionals. Yes. They want to be paid professionally. They want to be paid on time. They want to monetize. They want people to be giving them campaigns to do. You don't get to be treated like a professional if you don't act like a professional.
Uh-huh.
And that means behaving ethically. It means paying your tax. It means abiding by the ARB's rules about advertising. But it also means only taking on ethical projects, which brings me to the next thing. An influencer is only as powerful as their influence. And if your followers see that you are doing things that are not trustworthy, you will lose your followers and you will lose your ability to be an influencer. You have to create a trusted space as an influencer. And this is at the ARB, we're all about creating a trusted advertising space so that advertisers can go into that space and communicate with consumers and have consumers believe them, because consumers know there's somebody watching them. It's the same for influencers. You cannot expect people to trust you if you don't behave ethically. So behave like a professional, create a trusted space. Otherwise, you as the individual influencer, you are going to fail. People will stop believing you. They will stop following you. You will not be able to make money from this.
Yeah, 100%. Well, a powerful level to leave it off on, Gail. Really appreciate the insight that you've given us. So next time we hear our friends say, hey guys, welcome to my... Well, we want to remind them to act ethically. Gail, a great 100%. Pleasure speaking to you. Really appreciate you always making time to speak to us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Gail Schimmel is the CEO of the Advertising Regulatory Board, giving us some insight as to how South Africa is already in the process of making sure that through a white paper, we find ways of setting regulations whilst providing public speech and supporting that particular right, but making sure that there is a way of just adequately regulating the influencing space together with digital content. Share your thoughts with us on this one. It does follow in line with what we do see China looking to implement, being new rules around influencers and the ability to comment on key themes that they describe as sensitive issues: health, law, education, as well as medical treatment. If you don't have a degree, you can't comment on it. That's what China says. What should we be doing in South Africa? As Gail mentioned, there's a white paper. As a South African citizen, feel free to share your views. We're happy to take your voice notes on 063-688-0959.
Yo, Gugu, I really, 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 really love this, because everyone must be held accountable, you know, because there are people who are actually relying on these brand influencers, you know. This is actually good news. At least then everyone will act accordingly.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.